Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Thanks so much, everyone, for listening to the Sex with Emily show. And as you know, I love being able to help you have the sex life and the relationships you deserve. And I want to give you the best show possible. So I appreciate you supporting our sponsors who help keep this show free. Fleshlight is the number one sex toy for men. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could feel the pleasure of having sex anytime, even when you don't have a partner? The Fleshlight, the most popular sex toy for men, it simulates the sensations of real sex. It was engineered to look and feel like the real deal. Many people even think it feels better than sex, but I'm not saying you'll never want to have sex again. You can also try the Fleshlight Stamina Training Unit. It helps you practice lasting longer and becoming a better lover. Plus, you'll experience some of the most mind-blowing orgasms of your life. So you got to check it out. It's available in realistic flesh tone color with the popular Lotus texture or the all new signature line of textures. Each custom molded Fleshlight sleeve is an exact mold. You can also get one of porn stars, stuff like that. And you can also get the regular Fleshlights. You got to check them out. Go to sexwithemily.com/fleshlight. That's sexwithemily.com/fleshlight to get your Fleshlight now.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. First thing you should do is sign up for my mailing list, because I will send you emails that will change your life. They're informative, they're educational, they're funny, they're smart. I won't spam you. And we send them out like once a week and everyone seems to like them. So sign up for them. Also, the podcast, we do 2 a week. You never want to miss another podcast. Again, just easily subscribe on iTunes. That's the easiest way. Or you can also just listen on your website, on my website, sexwithemily.com. You can also download certain apps like the Podcast One app or the Stitcher app. There's a lot of easy ways to listen to podcasts. Right, Anderson?
That is, I mean, if you don't find this thing, there's something wrong with you. If you're not listening right now, there's something wrong with you.
No, but let me tell you something that I get asked every. I was at a film premiere a movie premiere.
Fancy lady.
No, it was fancy. It was at Nobu Malibu.
Holy jeez, were you there when Chris Brown and those other people started like rapping out of the blue?
Last night?
I saw it on TMZ at Nobu in Malibu.
Last night?
A couple nights ago.
I didn't see it, no. This was for Ray Donovan, the Showtime show.
It was with Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, he's hot. Liev. It was the premiere of the new season, and it was like they took over the whole Nobu, and it was amazing.
Nobu's awesome because you can get a piece of tuna there for like, I think, $33,
exactly.
And it's about an ounce, ounce of tuna.
But it was all free food and drinks, and it was. I had a blast. I was dancing. There was fireworks.
Did you imbibe? A little imbibing?
I did some imbibing. I had like 3 drinks. That's, for me, is a lot. Maybe it was two glasses of wine.
There's no way you could do 3.
No, 3
with
I'm like
that
wasted.
Body, you would be
no,
hammered.
No, I had 2 glasses of wine. It was just a really fun night. It was like so LA, such an LA like thing to do. You know,
yeah,
what I'm
I would be very uncomfortable.
But what I was saying is that even last night at this premiere, someone who's like very savvy in the business was like, okay, so podcasts, like how, I don't get, like how would I listen to it? You know, people just don't, they still don't know. They don't get it. I'm like, do you have an iPhone? Do you have a phone? Do you have iTunes? You know, just like listen to it. You just stream it. Like you buy a song, it's free though.
It's so funny because those of us who work in it, I just assume that like everyone.
But don't, I have to tell people all the time. Yeah. They're like, I have to sit in front of my computer. Like, how do I find it? So I'm trying to explain to people now.
How old was this Hollywood mogul that you were speaking with?
You know what, he was mid-40s maybe.
Ah, well, there you go.
No,
old
but
dude.
still, there's even people who are younger that don't get it. So I'm just saying.
I love how your guest thinks this is hilarious because obviously she's a podcast fan.
Are you a podcast fan, Siri? Okay.
I am.
Okay, my guest, I am so excited to have. Siri is an adult performer, frequent blogger, amazing writer, widely known in the cosplay world for appearing as the Power Girl. She's outspoken against slut shaming and is a supporter of the Unslut Project. She was the Female Performer of the Year for the 2014 TLA Raw Awards. Mm-hmm. You won AVN Award in 2013. And she was the only adult industry professional named a top writer of 2013 by Quora. What is that? How do you say that?
Quora.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love your site. I love all the work that you're doing. And thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having
Very
me.
Very excited. And then afterwards, you see me on Loveline, which is exciting. They're like, Siri's coming in. We want Siri. So everyone wants you
I'm
now.
I'm here all night.
You'll be here all night, folks. But one thing I have to mention first is that I am doing a workshop Wednesday, July 16th. In Hollywood at the Hustler Store. It's Hustler Hollywood. It is from 8 to 10 p.m. You all need to RSVP. If you want to meet in person, it's called How to Blow His Mind in Bed. But it's not just for, it's for men and for women. And the space is limited and we're filling up. But if you'd loved, I'd love to meet you. I'd love you to come by. We've got gift bags. I'm going to be teaching a workshop, going through some toys. It's just going to be a whole lot of fun.
When is this? What's the date?
July 16th, Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m.
Hump day.
Hump day, of course.
Hey, what do you think the chances are that you might accidentally gag and maybe even throw up?
What do you mean?
Because aren't you going to be sticking things in your
throat? No, I'm not giving an actual blowjob. I'm going to give a blowjob tips, but I'm not going to put anything in my
mouth. You're going to put something
Siri's
in your mouth.
Siri's going to come and do it for me. No, but it's RSVP to feedback@sexwithemily.com. That's feedback@sexwithemily.com. You have a few days to do it. I would just love to meet you and come. If you've never been to the Hollywood Hustler, have you been to the Hollywood Hustler store?
I've been there once.
It's it's like an epic.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's just a destination just to check it out. And I'll be there. It'll be super fun. And also on Wednesdays from 12:30 to 1, I do a Twitter chat, live Twitter chat. It's @sexwithemily. #AskEmily. Ask me any question you want. 12:31 Pacific Standard Time. And Anderson, anything that you'd like to tell me?
What time's the Hustler thing?
It's 8 to 10 p.m. Wednesday evening, July 16th. Why, you want to come?
I would love to come, but I can't come.
What? I'm going to come to your thing.
We should stop saying come. This is getting wrong and dirty.
It always happens.
I'm doing a film vault right at that time. I'm rolling
Whatever.
On Film Vault.
You could cancel it.
It's a podcast. You probably have no idea how to find it.
Film Vault podcast. Check it. It's a really good one, too. So you need to check it out because Anderson's my man. Okay. Siri, hi.
Hi.
We're so excited. Okay. So tell me about you. We got to get through like how you got started. I mean, you started just how many years ago now?
2.5.
Okay. And you've already like taken off and done so well. How did you first get into this business?
It was actually like a goal of mine from even when I was like, I knew that I wanted to do adult films when I was 19 and I was in my first semester of college, and it was something that I was like, I really want to do that. I put it on the back burner because I wanted to finish school. So as soon as I was done with college, I moved out here the first chance I got, drove through across the country in
from
January.
Where?
From Texas.
Okay.
That's where I'm from. Made a pit stop at the AVN show in January in Vegas to do networking, and
okay.
I met some people there, and then basically it was like a week later I had driven to LA and had an appointment, and
it all took off from there. I mean, that's pretty amazing that you had such success. So why did you always, what was it about porn that made you think like, this is for me, I want to do it?
Just the combination of sexual expression and openness and performing, you know, being an entertainer for me was like ideal because I'm a performer type. I was a theater nerd growing up.
You were? Okay.
Yeah, and I've always been very sexual. And at the same time, when I was growing up, I didn't feel comfortable expressing myself sexually, and I really longed for a place and like a forum to be able to do that. So for me, that's exactly what adult films does.
Right.
You know.
So when you say you've always been sexual, you mean like from a young age you started masturbating or feeling?
I mean, like I was always very curious about sex, and it was something that I wanted to know about, and I had really had so much curiosity. At the same time, I was like a late bloomer. I didn't actually have sex for the first time until I was 18. I had my first kiss at 17.
Right.
So.
Okay. So.
Yeah. So it was all that, for me, all the curiosity led to this kind of growing up with all this pent up, like, I want
to. Was it because your family wasn't as open to it, or it was just more repressed? I guess everyone's.
Yeah.
Society's repressed. Like, they're not teaching in school or not learning.
To be honest, it was kind of that. It's like, originally I'm from Minnesota, and I moved to Texas when I was like 12.
Okay.
And in Texas, they don't really do sex ed.
No.
It's just not really a thing.
Right.
So I didn't have any sex ed formally in school. Ever.
Yeah, me neither. I went from Michigan. We didn't really do anything ever.
Everything that I wanted to know about sex, no one was telling me. So I sought it out on my own. I would go to the library, and there was a website that was really popular in the late 90s called girl.com, like girls but with a U.
Okay.
And they published a book in, I think it was like 98 or 99, and it was A Girl's Guide to Life. And it had a whole chapter on sex, and it had like girls writing in with sex advice. They had doctors talking about sex advice, and it was, to me, very sex positive for teenage girls, and kind of in the way that like your podcast is, and you know, there's this whole kind of like sex education revolution happening right now.
I think so too. I think that I've just been so passionate about it. I mean, since I started the show, but I just feel like now that I have these nieces, young nieces, and 14, and one's 12, and they're Googling me, which is a problem, the 12-year-old. But it's like, I just know that even my sister-in-law is like, how do I talk to her? Like, there's not a lot of information out there, like how you talk to kids. It's just been so passionate about lately that we just need. And I think for women, the key is like getting them to know. Like, I didn't even masturbate. It didn't even occur to me. I didn't even think about it. I didn't know to do it. I wish that it was taught for women to feel more empowered sexually, that it wasn't about pleasing your partner. It's about understanding your own body first and all that stuff. So, yeah. It's important stuff. So what? So you do a variety of different kind of porn and styles and genres. So what's your favorite style to work in?
Oh, that's tough. Because I mean, like I said, I'm a theater nerd, so I love doing the films that involve more acting, like parodies and feature length porn films. I love sex, and that's a huge part of it, obviously.
Right.
So it. I don't necessarily have like a favorite type of film or genre that I like to do.
Is there anything that you're interested in doing or that you'd like to try that you haven't done yet? Or like anything sexually unseen that you
there's a lot. Yeah. If I can speak graphically.
Yes, you can swear, graphic. Come on, Sex with Emily. Like, if you can't do it here. Yeah.
There's a lot that I have not done on camera that I've maybe done in my personal life, but I've kind of been holding out on camera because, well, for me, it's about, I really want a career and I want longevity.
Right.
So the longer I wait to do
exactly,
more
you
want to
blow your load,
things.
So to speak, early on.
Yeah.
I got it. So, but so far you're happy with what you've been doing.
Oh yeah. So far I've only done like what in the industry is like kind of straight boy-girl sex, you know.
And
I do girl-girl stuff.
Okay.
But by boy-girl sex, I mean no anal, no, like, multiple partners or anything. I've done, like, two guys on film, and that's about as involved as I haven't done a gangbang on film.
Okay, got it. But maybe.
But I've done it in my personal life.
Have you?
Yeah.
You had a gangbang in your... How did that happen?
A couple times.
Okay, but how did that happen? A gangbang in your personal life? Like, did you send out an Evite? Like, what? How does it work?
Well, I'm married. My husband and I are swingers, so that's really how. I've had one formal gangbang and two like less formal ones that kind of just happened in a swinging scenario,
right? Organic gangbang.
But the one that was actually formal was a birthday present from my husband. Like he arranged it and surprised
God,
me with like
that's amazing
with like six guys at our house.
How does Steve, people are just like, what, your husband? People don't understand that could even exist, that your husband, but that's a swingers, but that you would want to watch you. Because this came up with someone recently. She's like, my husband keeps talking about wanting to watch me have sex with someone. And I mean, they're not swingers. They're very vanilla. She's like, but I just don't get it. And I'm like, there's just some guys. It turns them on. It's their thing. And, and it's just started to, she's just kind of more conservative and just didn't get it. But I think it's awesome that you found the man for you that's down
and
with that.
It goes both ways with us. Like, I'll watch him with other girls too. And it's, for us, it's about, we enjoy giving each other the gift of experiencing someone else, someone new. And it's like, he's having fun, he's enjoying himself, so that I enjoy that. And it's
right,
the same
exactly.
Way
you
him.
Get pleasure because he's having pleasure.
Uh-huh.
And then you guys are also do like threesomes with other women and stuff.
Absolutely.
You've been, okay.
One of my favorite threesomes was actually with his ex-girlfriend.
Seriously?
Yeah. She's a really nice girl.
Really? That's awesome. And okay, so he got to hook up with his ex-girlfriend again, too, then.
Yeah.
That's nice. So that's really funny. That was you're like, I get why you like her, because we both like the same guy, so you guys probably got along well. It makes sense.
Totally.
It's a good way to, like, vet your partners and stuff. So you're bisexual.
Yes.
And so are you ever with women on your own, like, without your husband?
Yeah. It's not, like, super frequent. But yeah, definitely.
You've had, right, I think I read somewhere that early on you were in just a relationship with a woman, right? Exclusively?
Yeah. Well, around the same time that I actually first decided I wanted to do adult films, that was about a year after I started dating women. When I was 18, I decided to start dating women. I'd always been attracted to women, hadn't really explored it.
Right.
And, I identified as a lesbian. As soon as I started dating women, I was like, wow, I'm full on lesbian. And I identified that way for almost 4 years. And then toward the end of that 4-year period, I realized I was having attraction to men again. And so it was like, no, wait, I guess I'm not. I guess okay. I've always been bisexual. And, you know.
When did you know you were bisexual? Was it a younger age that you thought that? Or was it when you got older that you started feeling more attracted to women?
It was at a younger age. I mean, the first time I knew I actually had a crush on a girl, I was like 7.
Wow. Okay. That's great. I mean, no, that's what a lot of people say. They knew at a young age.
I always had crushes on boys and girls at the same time.
It makes sense. Yeah. You're like in the right place. Is there ever any time, though, when you're on camera, like beforehand, do you meet the people beforehand before you go on camera with someone? Like, what if you're not that into them? Like, how do you get yourself into it, turned on? Like, do you just fantasize or something else? Or you're just like, this is my job. I'm getting paid. I'm going home. I'll be with my husband. Like, what do you do?
Well, part of that is... partially, it's not even an issue just because I've been in the industry for 2.5 years now. Right. And it is a small world. So the majority of the time, I already at least know the person on some level.
Right, because it's all the same.
Yeah, and usually if I don't know the person, I prefer to work with people that I've met like once before. Just because, you know, it's like, yeah. Then I feel like if I haven't met them before, then I really talk to them before a scene and get a sense of...
And is there a certain protocol that before the scene you do have to kind of say, this is what I'm into, this is what I'm not,
oh, yeah.
This is what goes?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's kind of an unwritten common courtesy kind of thing of porn is, you know, you ask your co-star, what are your likes, what are your dislikes, what's off limits? Just general boundaries, you know.
Exactly. So what's off limits, do you say is off limits for you?
For me, it's really I'm not into pain, because there's a time and a place for that. Like, I can be into like a little bit of pain, a little bit of power play, but most of the time that's off the table for me, unless I'm really in the mindset for it. So that's one of those things. But
okay.
I really enjoy dirty talk. So for me, I have more turn-ons than I have turn-offs.
Right. So what's your turn-on? So dirty talk is hot.
Dirty talk is a huge one.
You like talking dirty and being talked dirty to as well, back and forth. Right.
Oh yeah. 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 Me absolutely. Too.
How would you do? Can you do like some impromptu dirty talk? How would you teach people? Oh my God, please.
I'm probably going to be too flustered to do that.
I had a woman at a party like the other week. She's like, pulls me aside. This happens at parties. She's like, I hear what you do, and my new guy over there, he wants me to talk dirty, and I don't know how to start. She's like reading books. I'm like, you just kind of got to like talk about what's going on in the moment.
For me, it's like, that's why when you're like, can I do it now? Probably not, because for me, it's so in the moment.
Right.
It's like, I pretty much just say whatever pops into my head when I'm having sex.
Well, it's true, because for women, too, not that all women are into it, but like the brain is our largest sex organ. Like, we want to hear words. Like, that's what really turned us on, and men, too, but for women, I think especially, a lot of us.
A good place to start, I think, is just telling the person, like, verbally expressing what you're feeling.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, that's so deep in my pussy.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Just tell the guy what you're feeling.
And use the word pussy, not vagina. Right?
I've used the word vagina.
Right. Be like, you're deep in my vagina. Like, you're like, what? Are we having, like, a gynecological exam? No, you want to say pussy. But yeah, explain how you're feeling or what you want. Like, I can't wait to have your cock inside me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you do, people. You just start explaining what you're feeling in the moment. But so what are some other turn-ons?
Eye contact. A lot of eye contact.
During
kissing.
Sex, right? Kissing's huge.
Yeah, some people don't want to kiss as much. That's actually more of a swinger thing, I guess. We meet people in this. My husband and I meet people in the swinging lifestyle that are like, no kissing. And we're like, no.
Right.
That's a major turn-on
for me. I love the kiss. You need the kissing to get started. So if you don't kiss, it just seems like that would be hard for me. That would be like a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
Because that's how you connect.
Yeah. To me, it is. It's exactly that. And in porn, it's not. Actually, I haven't met anyone in porn who's like, no, I don't kiss, but sometimes the kissing doesn't happen because it's not that type of scene, right. or they're not looking for a romantic feel. But right. I always try and get one in there just because right. it's that's kind of for me. You
right.
know?
No, we totally need the kissing. That makes so much sense. And so and what I was going to say is about talking to people what you want before sex. I think it's so interesting because I feel like couples, like I wish there was some kind of, I like want to create this, like some kind of document or something that you have to, or it's an app or people before you have sex with someone or when you start being with someone, you can ask them these questions and talk about what you like and don't like and what you want to explore because so many couples are together for so long and they just don't even know how to talk about sex. Yeah. So I think that's like a great practice that you do that. And just when I was thinking about that, it reminded me that I'm always trying to teach couples how to talk to each other because they're together sometimes for so long and they're like, I don't know what to say. It's been 15 years. Tough. I'm not happy. I'm like, do you know what our fantasies are? Do you know? No.
Oh my gosh.
No, all the time. It happens. It's true. So what do you think it is if you had to say the key? I mean, you're beautiful and you're intelligent and you're sexy and all these things, but there's a lot of women who want to get into porn and you've had such this like skyrocketing success in the last few years. What would you attribute that to? What do you think it is about you?
Well, I think that I'm very accessible to my fans. First of all, I'm like really interactive with my fans on social media. I love that. Yeah, early on, I had not only Twitter, but I had a Tumblr blog that was very popular in like my first year and a half. And Tumblr deleted it after they were bought by Yahoo. They just completely obliterated it with no warning. That kind of sucked.
I hate that stuff.
I kind of built my brand as a performer on fan interactions.
So I know that you do a lot of open Q&As and stuff with real people. And then let's give out your website real quickly and your Twitter if people do want to find you.
It's at Siri Pornstar.
At Siri Pornstar. S-I-R-I. And then your website.
SiriPornstar.com.
Easy. Okay. Yep. So you do, that's great. So it's all been, because it is so much about, they always say no matter what you're selling, like a widget or porn or radio show, that it is all about interacting with your fans and having, so you do these Q&As and you open up and they ask you questions. And do you do it like once a week or how can people participate in that?
Well, when I started out with the Tumblr blog, because Tumblr has this ask feature where people can ask you questions anonymously or via their account, and I started out with that, and that is preserved on my blog now, which is at blog.siripornstar.com.
Okay.
And now like the most recent big kind of Q&A I did was the Ask Me Anything on Reddit, which was like 6 months ago, and that was really fun.
I heard that was really fun, and it also didn't something happen out of that became more controversial, something that you
One of the first questions I got on the Ask Me Anything on Reddit was, what would you change if you could change anything about the adult film industry? Right. And I said, I would invent a magical scepter that would make pirating porn impossible because piracy is a huge issue affecting the adult industry.
It's true, right? So, yeah, people should, you know, you're working hard for a living, right? It's like the music industry. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
So I think it's good that you brought that up.
And the controversy came with the fact that, I mean, a fair amount of Redditors are in support of digital piracy.
Right.
And, you know, all content on the internet should be free, which doesn't make sense if you're talking about people's livelihoods.
Exactly. You're trying to make a living here.
Right.
Right.
So there were enough people that disagreed with that statement of mine that they would start downvoting my other comments just to be mean. And it bounced back eventually. Right. And the more positive upvotes and all that won out.
No,
but there was a little controversy.
Right. I get it. But that's important that you speak up at that. I know you speak up a lot of important issues that you can. I think that's what it is, that you have more, you know, you've a lot to say, more of a brand and things that you believe in. And I think you're doing great work.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
So is there any advice that you have for women, you think, that want to learn to enjoy sex more? Anything that you know or that you've learned?
Don't be afraid to just be outspoken about your own needs and like put it out there and ask for what you want. I mean, that's so hard for so many women, is just to say, like, touch me this way. And it's such a simple thing. And most guys are not. I don't know any guy. Well, I guess there are a couple douchebags out there who'll be like, no, I want what I want.
But exactly.
The vast majority of men want to please you.
Exactly. But women don't.
Yeah. And repeatedly faking orgasms, if you're into that habit, is one of the worst things you can do for yourself and your own sexual happiness. Like,
exactly.
That is not a good habit to get into.
Right, right. It's so true. I mean, you're sending the wrong message because he's thinking he's the king of the universe, right? And you're not telling him, you're not getting feedback. I had a friend who faked multiple orgasms. So every time she was with this guy, she had to fake multiple. I'm like, what the hell did you get yourself into? That's like one orgasm. So every time they're together, she's like, I'm coming again. I'm like, that sounds exhausting. Just like grab your vibrator or something.
Yeah.
You know? You're right. So what about when you're actually having sex on camera? Do you always have orgasms? Or sometimes, I know that's a little different if you have to fake them, but do you usually have orgasms during a scene?
I will say that the vast majority of the time they're real, because I always do whatever I can for myself, like, you know, rubbing my clit or whatever I need to do to really achieve orgasm. Every now and again, there's the odd scene where maybe we're having sex on such an uncomfortable surface, or it's outside in summer and it's like 105 degrees and we're in the sun, and it's just, because of other complications, it's just too hard.
Right. That's just like life.
You just can't
too.
Really
like,
let go to that degree.
Right.
And in those situations, if the director really, sometimes a director will be like, we really need an orgasm, so 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then they basically, you just fake it. They just, they just want it for the camera.
Exactly.
But sometimes if I can't do it for real, they're okay with me not even faking it, you know?
Okay.
And then it just becomes about, like, I'm still enjoying the sex, you
know?
Exactly. The whole point
of
this for me is an orgasm. It's just I enjoy it regardless.
That's the thing. It's about the journey. Sex is not about an end goal. It's really not. We women, we can still enjoy it if we're not having an orgasm. So how do you orgasm typically? Do you orgasm, like, all over? G-spot, clitoral, or is there a certain way that you...
Generally, I've orgasmed from just penetration, but it's a much longer buildup for me.
Right.
It
takes a while.
And it feels great, but I almost don't have the patience for it. I'm kind of an impatient person.
I know. Me too. I'm like, I can do it, but sometimes you're just like, right it's a clitoral. And then,
So
I get
usually,
it.
For me, it's a, like a combination of penetration and clitoral, and sometimes just clitoral, but, and I'm also a squirter.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Oh, good. Have you always been? Or did you have to... Learn.
I learned, I guess, kind of early compared to what I've heard other girls say. When the first relationship, really, that I had, the first long-term relationship was with a woman who was, she was older than me. I was 18 at, or 19 at the time, and she was like 35. So
she'd been
with a lot of women, and she knew female anatomy very well. And
so you probably learned a lot from that relationship.
We used to have phone sex because she lived like a little bit far away, and so we used to have phone sex all the time, and she would give me directions over the phone about how to finger myself,
and it would work,
and she basically taught me over the phone through phone sex how to squirt
with your fingers. So is pressure on the G-spot?
It's doing the like kind of the cum hither motion inside and then rubbing my clit at the same time.
That's great. What about sex toys? Do you ever use sex toys? Are you a fan?
I am a huge fan of like vibrators, like the little I call mine like the egg,
because
it's like I have two. There was one that I have that's made by Jeju that's called Mimi.
Oh.
And
it's my favorite toy in the whole world.
I won it in a giveaway, actually, like 3 years ago.
It's so funny. People listening to the show, like, I've literally increased their sales by 40%.
It's amazing.
It's my favorite toy.
And my other favorite one, which is newer, but I've been using it a lot, and I actually have a couple of them, is a Lilo's Siri vibrator.
Oh,
which,
the Siri.
Totally coincidence.
Not because it's your name.
It actually predates me, but
it's that little black one, right? It's, what is it, the Siri? I have it, but
it comes in different colors, but it's kind of an eggy shape.
Yeah.
It's like a little bean shape almost.
Exactly. It's a bean, but it has a little thing in the middle. Right.
Yeah.
And that's, do you ever use them during intercourse? Like, do you hold them against you? Or do you use it just for masturbation?
Yeah. No, it's actually the perfect size to kind of wedge in there. You can hold it against your clit while you're having sex, and it doesn't kind of get in the way.
I love this Siri. I know exactly which one you're talking about. And Mimi. That's why I love them, because, and they're quiet, they're discreet, and you can just have
and
them
powerful.
In your palm and powerful.
And rechargeable.
Exactly.
I love it. No batteries. You know?
No batteries. Waterproof for squirters. The whole thing. I love them. Yeah. Those are some of my favorites, too. So at one point, it says that you had an agent, but now you've already gone independent. So you own your own brand, your own thing. Was it just because you felt like it just, why?
Well,
was it harder?
I had an agent for my first year. And in that first year, it was a learning experience for me. I really discovered that I can mostly do that for myself, and I'm so independently minded that it just, for me, it's a better fit to be independent. And I guess it's probably also because I'm college educated, and I'm not, the agents are very helpful for girls who come into the business and they're, you know, 18 or they're younger and they're not very educated, and it helps them to have an agent to help make certain decisions. But for me, I actually felt a little overburdened, like, I don't need all this, you know?
Right, exactly. No, it's true, because you can kind of do it on your own once you get the feel of it, and you're smart, and you can.
A lot of it's just basic business. Yeah.
It is, and so you're good at that. Mm-hmm. That's good. I've had to learn it. I wasn't at first. I was just doing a podcast because I thought it was really fun. And then I was like, oh, I'm an artist. I got to make money and figure it out. If you, what do you think if you weren't in the adult industry, what would you be doing?
Ooh. Well, I studied communications and minored in Spanish. So so if I were going to do something that actually relates to my education, then I guess it would be like Spanish translator. But I probably wouldn't actually want to do that. I've always thought that I would probably be a makeup artist just because I love
makeup. You're so beautiful.
Makeup.
Your
Thank
makeup
you.
Looks great. I was like, your skin is gorgeous.
Thank you.
It's like glowing and beautiful.
To me, that's satisfied. Like, I'm a pretty creative person. Like, the whole performer
right.
type is a very creative thing to me. But I also think of makeup as creative expression.
It is.
You know?
It really. Did you have to, like, study it and learn it? Or you just sort of...
Well, I can do my own makeup really well, but I know that when I do other people's faces, it's not as much. That's what takes practice. So if I were ever going to do that, I would go to school for it. But
it.
I think I have somewhat of a natural talent
for
it.
You look great. You do. You do. Okay, so I need to get some sex tips from you.
Okay.
Performing oral sex on a woman.
Ooh.
Let's start there.
Okay.
What are some tips that you would, like, what are your go-to moves or things that you think that people, men or women, don't really know about oral, performing oral sex on a woman that you think they should? Or that tips that you've learned that we could share to my audience?
In my experience, and I can really only speak from what I know I like receiving and what I find is effective when I'm giving.
Okay, wait. You know what? I'm going to come back to that in a minute.
No
when
worries.
We come back from the break, you are going to give us your top oral sex detail tips for performing oral sex in a woman, which I believe is there's a huge need for this in the world because so many people don't know what the hell they're doing. Okay, so I have to give a word for my sponsors. I just want to thank everyone for listening to the show and for supporting my sponsors. And I know a lot of you out there live in the LA area or you come here often, and the Hustler Hollywood store should be your main destination for the best toys, erotica, and the sexiest lingerie, and most of all, the easiest way to find the answers you've been looking for to spice up your sex life. Hustle Hollywood is the perfect date night spot if you're in a relationship. You just go. Like, if you're like, oh, we want to spice things up, browse their selection of sexy products, see what gets you both turned on, and do some shopping. This way, you can avoid any awkward conversations about sex and go right to the source to fulfill all your sexual desires. And if you're single and you want to have more fun during your solo time, they've got the most amazing display of products there. And Hustler Hollywood, they love you, my Sex with Emily listeners. They want to make your sex life better. So whether you're single or in a relationship, they're offering a 20% discount if you mention Sex with Emily when you visit the legendary store. That's it.
That's awesome.
So also, I'm going to be doing a workshop. I mentioned that earlier, Wednesday, July 16th, 8 to 10 p.m. So you should RSVP at feedback@sexwithemily.com. So again, mention Sex with Emily, get 20% off any item. Also, another thing I got to give a shout out is to No-No. I love my No-No Pro. Do you use No-No?
No.
Okay.
I think it's so cool and I want to try it.
Okay, you got to try it. It's amazing. I spent so much time, like money, razor, yeah, especially your business, razors, waxing, tweezing, the whole thing. No-No Pro is the best way, hands down, to remove unwanted hair with no pain. And it's for men, too. Men, if they've got like the back, you know, like on their neck or their back, or they're like, I don't know what to do about it. This is like hair removal. It's easy. You could do it while you're watching TV. It doesn't hurt. Legs, arms, face. You will love how easy it is to use and the weeks, months of long-lasting results. Plus, No-No Pro comes with a 100% 60-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't like it, you return it. And when you purchase it, you also get a $50 gift card to an award-winning skincare line. So go to nonoemily.com. That's nonoemily.com. Check it. You'll like it.
Nice.
I'll get you one. You got to try it out. Okay. Oral sex tips for women. Going down on a woman.
Yay. Okay.
Okay.
So I've been told, by the way, that I'm really good at going down on girls. So,
oh, really?
Good. So hopefully this is reliable information.
Sure.
In my experience, it has been.
Okay, good. I'm sure you're good. Tell me. I'm dying. I love these tips. Yes.
All right.
You know that I love them.
Yeah. First of all, I would say... And again, I always feel the need to stress, like, this doesn't apply to everyone because
exactly.
Every woman's body is different. But in general, I find that less is more. When I'm going down on a girl, I'm very much into the tongue action, you know, on the clit. And
right.
Maybe a little bit of, like, teasing around the labia. But generally, I don't put, like, I'll ask her, is that good? Like, is that enough pressure? Do you want more? Do you want less?
But as you're doing it.
Like, as I'm doing it, okay. Yeah. Right. And so, and usually, sometimes you don't need to ask. It's good, too, if you're in doubt. Right. But I always ask anyway, you know. And right. With some girls, they're so responsive that you don't need to ask because it's
right.
Undoubtedly you can tell. They're
like,
enjoying
clearly
that.
Clearly, I'm doing something right.
Right. And when it comes to fingers, I'm a really huge fan of, like, fingering a girl while I'm eating her out.
Okay.
But that's really where I mean less is more is with the fingers.
So just not the whole time or just not as much aggression with the fingers? Not as much
I start with one and then ask if I can put another one in. Like, you know.
Which is hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some girls, they want, like, four in there, but you don't know.
Right.
I'm, like, the reason I'm such a fan of that is I'm not huge into fingers. Like, I don't really do more than two.
Right.
You know? So I'm always a fan of when someone asks me. So I always do that kind of as a courtesy to other girls because I don't know how much they want.
Right.
And
right.
I really go slow with it. I don't do a whole lot of the crazy, right. Like, finger banging.
Right. Right. Okay.
Generally, I find that men do that more often than girls
they
do.
They do.
It to other
I don't know why. Like, that's their thing. Right? The guys are like, oh, the harder, yeah. The better, the faster. Like, they jackhammer.
Unfortunately,
with the
I think that might be so common because guys see it in porn.
Yeah, it's true.
Which is not. When a guy does that to me on camera, I'm like, no. Ooh,
right. Doesn't It's too much. It's too much stimulation. If they're going down. But sometimes some women aren't into the thing. They just want you to just have oral sex with your mouth and not the fingers.
Yeah.
But you can experiment. Mm-hmm. Or maybe woman doesn't know because someone hasn't done it right before. So it's also like, just she might say she doesn't like it. But if you do it slowly, I always say, like, slow sex is just, you know, I tell a lot of guys, like, go 3 times slower or 5 times slower than you think. Just slow everything down and you will have more success, I think. So so you focus on the clitoris with your tongue, you said. Anything else, like teasing, waiting, like, what do you think it is that gets, is there anything that moves it when you know they're about to orgasm or anything that you do?
When I know that they're getting close, either I ask them or it's just, you know, body language tells me,
right.
I put a little more pressure on and I really, like, I mean, I put a lot of pressure on with my tongue on the clit.
Right.
I also, especially when a girl's getting close to orgasm, I like to kind of, like, just touch, like, kind of gently caress her inner thighs.
Right.
Or even tickle a little bit. Some girls like that. You never know.
It's hot.
Or a little
like
bit of a squeeze,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, teasing. Not just, like, cause some guys get so focused, or women, whoever, get so focused on one part. But, like, the teasing and the slowing it down is very important. Okay, those are good tips.
Thank you.
What about oral sex in a man?
Ooh, man. See, that to me, I'm not as studied about doing it. I've been told that I'm very good at it, but for me, I just kind of, like, do it, and I don't actually think about it that much.
You're natural,
which is funny because that's one of the weirdest, like, little tidbits of, I guess, factoids about me, especially because I'm a porn performer. Is I didn't actually give a guy a blowjob until I was 22. That's the first time I ever gave.
Really?
And I just turned 26.
So
to
you
put that on a timeline,
right? But you're good, right? But you got it. I mean, it's just this. There's so many guys like, oh, women don't know how.
You have to really enjoy it. With well, that's for both boys and girls.
Yeah, enthusiasm,
you have to enjoy
enthusiasm,
it.
Enthusiasm is so important.
Right.
I just wrote I have a new column actually for Glamour.com, and it's on Sunday nights. It's a sex tip column, and last week was about how to learn to love to give a blowjob, because there's a lot of women who, like, don't like it, or they think they don't like it, or they had a bad experience with it, and it was just about
maybe wait abnormally long period of time before you do it first.
Right, wait forever.
Because that seemed to work for me.
Right, exactly. So now you like it.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
The first time I did it, I was like, this is awesome. Why did I not do this for the last 4 years?
Exactly. I know. I mean, but it's true. But a lot of women are just like, and I think there's a lot of sexual acts, like, that people have, like, bad experiences or weird things happen, and they're like, oh, I don't like it. I'm like, but don't, just because someone might have, you know, done it wrong or hurt you in some way, mm-hmm. like, there's ways you could try it with someone who's more experienced, or talk, voice what you need and what you desire and mm-hmm. all that stuff. So
pretend it's, like, the most delicious popsicle you've ever seen in your life.
Right.
Like, you know, that you're going to really aggressively lick.
And you don't want any drip to drop to the floor. That's what I remember my thing. I remember in my article, I was like, lick it like it's the most delicious ice cream cone. Make eye contact. Be into it. Be enthusiastic. I think that's all really important.
Eye contact is great for blowjobs. Like, even if you're not the best blowjob-er, giver,
right.
you can pretty much, I mean, you can get away with not being the best if you're really into the eye contact.
Right.
Because that's where the guy gets that sense of your passion and that you're really enjoying it.
Exactly. Yeah. They want to see you. It's true. Eye contact is a big one. No teeth. I always say eye
contact. Yeah.
Care about the teeth. So what's your favorite position?
Doggy.
Sexually. Doggy style. Always? Yeah. Because you can orgasm that way more easier, or you just like it?
I actually, feels good, for me, orgasming is easiest in missionary. I just like doggy because it feels kind of naughty. Like, right. It's kind of dirty and animalistic, and yeah. I really like it.
That's fun. do you guys do any, like, role-playing, dressing up, stuff like that?
I do enjoy role-playing, yeah.
How do you guys get into that? What kind of stuff do you do? Like, people are always like, really? You can go to the bar and be strangers? Like, that's really going to work after being someone? Like, yeah, you got to get into it. You might laugh a little, but how do you... Or in the house, you're role-playing. I'm not saying you don't do those.
Usually, they're not usually that planned out or, like, really... I guess it's... I don't even know if I should call it role-playing. It's just... We kind of, like, do goofy... It's like power exchange, right. Maybe, more a better word for it.
Right. More like you're the naughty schoolgirl.
Like, I need to be punished, you know?
Right. I've been a very bad girl.
Yeah.
Do you get dressed up? Like, what about cosplay? Can you explain what that is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to people who might not know.
Well... I cosplay as Power Girl, which is a DC Comics character, and she's known for her boob window in her costume, which is, like, literally, like, they just cut a window out of her costume to, join, like, to see her cleavage.
Oh, my God. Right. Okay. Amazing. She's this amazing photo being held up of you. Okay.
And so I started I got the costume together, took some photos, posted them, you know, on my Tumblr, on Instagram, and fans went wild for it. So I
it's
went...
sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I haven't... I want to go to more comic cons. I haven't had a lot of time to go to a lot of the comic conventions, but I went to Phoenix Comic Con last year, and it was amazing, and it was such a fun experience.
Do you like get dressed up? Do you have a lot of different costumes and stuff? Like, do you like being dressed?
Actually, I mostly have only done Power Girl. I've got the Black Widow costume from the Avengers, and I'm gonna do that one too. But so mostly lately what my cosplay consists of, since I don't have all the time to actually travel to conventions, is I do videos. So I'll
and they're on your site.
I'll do videos and put them on my site. So I do one where I'm Power Girl and I'm jerk off instructions, which is really popular.
What, tell me, that's what it's called? Jerk off?
Fetish.
Walk me through it. Okay.
There's it's kind of a fetish for, like, a certain type of video that you might find a lot of porn girls with their own websites doing. It seems pretty common. I don't know how widespread people, like, know about it, but
No idea about it.
See, there you go.
Okay, so, well, I'll just tell you what I do. When I make a jerk off instruction video, I set up my camera, and it's like, I'm just talking to my camera. It's just me in my room, camera on a tripod, I'm talking to it, and I act like it's a guy, and I tell him how to jerk off. I literally give him jerk off instructions.
So you just stand. Are you touching yourself, or you're just sitting?
Oh yeah, like, I'm usually, like, fondling my boobs, or masturbating, or thank you.
But there's, like, pictures before you click, right? Because, I mean, it's the most needless thing in the world is jerk off instructions. I think. I don't know if there's anything that men don't need everyone knows how
her,
to.
From Siri,
but I know exactly.
It's a turn on.
It's misleading.
Give me an example. So talk, like, pretend I'm watching your video. You're sitting there, and you're saying, like, take your big cock out.
Yeah, I want
you
to take your cock out for me. I want to watch you stroke it for me. You know?
So guys,
it's not a how-to then. Not
it's
a how-to.
It's not. It's jerk off instructions because it's the guy gets off on me, like, telling him, and
right,
a lot of the time it's you're not allowed to come until I count down from 10.
So it's like a dominatrix thing. I was thinking more, but like, how you get instructions on how to put batteries into your fucking clock. You know what I mean?
Right.
It can be a domination thing, but a lot of the time it's not. It's just the guy really gets off on. It's like I'm going to jerk off anyway. I may as well watch this video where the girl's, like, literally telling me.
Right, and it's hot for them that you like, that you want to see it, and then so this is your website that people can SiriPornStar.
Yeah, SiriPornStar.com,
and they can go and check out all your what are some of your other favorite videos on there, like the most popular ones, and why do you think they're
popular? The most popular ones. The most popular one is probably the cream pie scene that I did because it's the only one I've ever done on film.
What happens?
What's cream pie?
That's like an internal, like, cum shot, like the guy comes inside.
Oh,
which
but
is
how do they
not that popular in porn, you know, it's rare because it's risky, you know.
Right,
somewhat.
Right. So he comes inside, but you can, like, literally.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the camera comes in at, like, a close shot on me at the end and you can see it, like, coming out.
Wow, okay, that's hot. So people, that's your most popular one. Is there anything that you, that you're working on now? Like, how often are you working on movies and your own site? Like, do you do both? Do you just do it from home, like your site?
It's about, I film pretty much all my stuff. It's like me and my husband, you know, he's cameraman, and I edit all my own videos.
You do?
I process, I write all the descriptions for all of them. Yeah, it's very much a
You edit them all.
I think, yeah.
So how is it watching yourself have sex? I feel like I'd be like, oh my God, my arm, my leg. Like, you know, aren't you ever critical of yourself?
I might be if I didn't edit my video. Like,
right, you're like, oh, I look, yeah. That's bad there, the way my ass was going out. Whatever.
I guess because when I'm editing, I'm in this mindset where it's very, like, kind of not mechanical. I don't know. Like, I like the process of editing.
Me too.
So I actually
it's
don't
calming.
Even really,
Final
like,
Cut, or do you use, yeah.
Yeah, I use Final
yeah,
Cut.
Yeah, I like it too. You really get, it takes forever, though, to edit videos.
I'm just so concentrated on, like, where I'm going to put the cuts and stuff. I don't even see
right.
myself.
That's good. That's a good way to, do you watch your own movies and stuff?
My husband and I will watch things when they come out together, because he really enjoys, he's not there on set, you know, that's not customary for partners to be on set on porn sets, so he really enjoys watching
it. I love
it.
You found, like,
later.
The perfect partner. How long have you guys been together?
3 years.
Okay, that's cool. So let's talk a little bit about non-monogamy, because of being swingers, because that's something that I think that a lot of people are just sort of confounded by, that idea that you could ever get over jealousy. And you guys take it to this whole, I mean, not only you're swingers, but you also do porn, and you seem so, like, supportive of each other. But how, is there ever times where you get jealous, or you get, how have you guys learned to deal with it? Do you just communicate a lot about it, or it's just really not part of your DNA makeup? Like, you just don't get jealous you see that he's having pleasure, you're having pleasure, it's reciprocal.
It is something that we've really kind of worked out a philosophy for ourselves as a couple, but I do think that jealousy is natural to a degree, especially, you know, with a relationship where you love this person, you want to spend the rest of your life with them, etc. I believe that jealousy is kind of, I mean, the real, if you have a jealousy issue with a partner, I don't want to speak for everyone, but for my husband and I don't have, jealousy is rooted in a fear of that person maybe leaving you.
Abandoned,
or that you think that they're going to try and find something better. And if you don't live with that fear, then it opens up this whole world of possibilities.
Exactly.
And I am completely secure in my relationship with my husband. There's no fear that he's going to look somewhere else.
Right.
He knows I'm never going to look somewhere else. So it opens up this whole world for us to explore sexually together.
Right.
And we can share these experiences because we're not afraid of what might happen as a result. It's, you know.
Do you guys have anything that is off limits for you that you won't do?
Not a lot. I mean, like I said, with the kissing thing, like, we love kissing. Some couples in swinging aren't fans of that because it's too intimate.
Right.
We're not like that, but for me, kind of a boundary for me is sleeping in a bed with someone.
Right,
like,
okay.
Literally sleeping with someone.
Right, you're like, it's over now.
Because for me, that's like one of my most intimate times that I have with my husband, and it's kind of like, I just kind of want
that
for me.
You
gotta preserve
that. I totally get that. Yeah, so you gotta, like,
but that's kind of about
it. How do you guys find couples? Like, that's it. You guys are like, phones are ringing off the hook. How do you find couples? Is it not that hard? Like, when you're business or just... How do you find them? Yeah.
Well, I mean, sometimes we meet people in the industry that we really like and we'll do stuff with them. Sometimes we meet couples who are not in the porn industry. They're just swingers, you know, and usually we meet those people on swinger networking sites, which there's a bunch of.
There are a bunch. What are some of your favorites? Just people.
SDC.com, which is Swingers Date, stands for Swingers Dates. Swingers Date Club.
Okay. So then isn't every city, right? You could, like, plug in your city or...
Yeah, STC is worldwide.
Right.
And there are certain swinger sites are more popular in certain regions, you know? Like, Cassidy is popular in, like, the Vegas area.
Right.
There's Lifestyle Lounge, which is more popular in certain parts of Texas. So it kind of depends on where you are, but most of them have people from all over the world.
Right, right. That's great. It's a great resource. I mean, people are like, how do we find them? How do we find them?
It's like, it's literally like Facebook for swinging. I mean, it's so easy to use. It's the social networking site, really.
But do you guys ever, now when you swing, is it the couple, like, what, don't you have to both like... Both. Doesn't that ever happen where you're like, I'm not so into it, but he's like crazy about someone, you know?
I'm not really into like taking one for the team.
Right. So were you like, what do you do if you do meet up and you're like, we're out? Like, I'm not into him. How do you,
well,
has it ever happened that you meet him in person and you're like, oh no, I'm not into him?
Well, that's what makes the swinger networking site so great is, you know, everyone's got photos usually.
Oh, I see. So
and
you can
before
tell.
We meet someone, we would request a photo. Just
right. But
still, you know,
the photo, but then you see him in person, you're like, oh, I'm just not. What do? You send him home?
Usually,
like,
we kind of...
Like,
usually we chat or, like, text or phone call enough to have a vibe from that person.
Okay, so you start
a
little dialogue.
Yeah,
it's not like they just show up. And
and if there's any doubt, then usually we would not just go straight to play. We might go on a little, like, double date, like dinner first. And then if dinner is kind of rocky, then we would just end it there.
Right. Okay. Got it. So there's a way. There's a way to get out. I'm sure you have a lot of people knocking down your doors. So you probably just have to like schedule it in and stuff. Talk to me about slut shaming. I know you're a big supporter of the Unslut Project, and it's a very important issue to you. And I think it makes a lot of sense. Can you talk to me about your experience with it and the project?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually an associate producer on Slut, a documentary film, which is kind of the child of Unslut Project. And the film itself aims to kind of create a dialogue and highlight the issue of slut shaming and the fact that it's become completely, unfortunately, commonplace.
How would you explain what slut shaming is?
Slut shaming is the act of making any woman or girl feel less than human for her sexual behavior, whether it's real sexual behavior or perceived.
Right.
Something that, you know, it's, I love the fact that Slut, a documentary film, or the Unslut Project, the way that we funded it by doing a Kickstarter project.
Oh, awesome. Good for you.
And one of the rewards for the Kickstarter was a t-shirt that says Define Slut on the front. And
I
love that.
Yeah.
Because if you ask someone to define slut, everyone has a different definition.
Right, exactly.
And some people's definition is literally a girl I don't like.
Right, exactly. But women get so, and this is another reason why I think that women are so repressed or held back sexually, because, or they don't speak up to partners because they're like, what if he thinks I'm a slut?
Oh,
or what if he's gotten around?
There's such a stigma around that.
And I just
I don't
want women
be
to be like,
slut.
Be yourself. Right, yeah. Do you want to have good sex, though? I mean, do you want to be like a fully sexual being? And you don't want to be with someone who's going to judge you as a slut. So I think, is the documentary already out?
No, the documentary is, it's in production right now.
Okay.
Most of the filming's done, but it'll be out like next year. And, really, most of the documentary focuses on cases where these, you know, usually like high school age, you know, teenage girls are slut shamed literally to the degree that they lose all hope and kill themselves.
Right. No,
and it's
right.
actually
it's
so there's like a story in the news. Another one came out today, actually, of a girl, I think in Texas, was it? It's disgusting.
Just, like,
it's
girls,
this girl went to a high school party.
She didn't do anything, right?
This girl went to a high school party. Was literally drugged, like her drink was drugged. She was raped, and all the classmates took photos of like mocking the pose that she was left in after she was raped. And that's slut shaming, and that happens. And then, you know, girls who have consensual sex are shamed for it too.
Right,
and
right.
it doesn't matter like what it is, if there's actual sex happening, if there's not, any form of slut shaming is destructive.
And it's just a double standard, obviously, because men don't have any of that. So, good. That's important.
I'm sure you guys explore it a lot in the documentary, but as far as, like, who does most the shaming, from working on Loveline for a number of years, I've come to learn that it's mostly the girls, the ladies, that are shaming each other more so than the guys, even.
There is quite a culture of women shaming other
mean
women.
Mean girls.
Yeah. There's a mean girl aspect
mean
to
girls.
It. And at the same time, it's gotten so much worse because of social media. And
that's the thing.
You don't really know if that's girls or boys. Usually it's like anonymous kids, you know? You don't know.
Right, exactly.
It's crazy
it is
to
social
see,
media.
Yeah.
It is the way it gets around, texting each other or they're on Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
Twitter.
If you follow at Unslut Project on Twitter,
Emily
Linden, who runs the whole thing, she started the documentary and the Unslut Project. She'll sometimes retweet the crazy, horrible slut shaming tweets that are, you know, tweeted to that account, and it really kind of shows you how
people are it's
it's another mob mentality.
It is a mob
mentality,
and it's so disgusting.
So wrong. Makes me angry. I'm glad you're doing this work. So what about a question about porn is that there's a lot of women I think who feel uncomfortable about watching porn, or they don't even know where to start, or that they're uncomfortable that their partner watches porn but yet they might want to explore it. Like, what would you recommend to women who are like a little weary of it, or like what direction would you send them in to find porn that that is more like female friendly, or, you know, porn that you liked when you were starting?
I'm a big believer in kind of the delivery method of porn, and I'm not saying this just because I'm a big opponent of piracy, but don't go to tube sites. Like, when I go to a tube site, within 5 minutes my blood is boiling. I'm so angry because those sites are designed just to grab your eyes. Like, there are GIFs, like there are these ads that are really denigrating to women. It's no fun. And those are things that, you know, actual porn production companies aren't really have a hand in that.
Right.
It's these traffic companies
that
profit
free,
from ads.
Right, exactly. It's
so,
all advertising.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
So you wanna find the product in the way that the company who created it intended it to be delivered to you. Meaning, I actually recommend, either buying a website membership or like going to Hustler Hollywood or going to a store and finding a DVD. It's like, hey, you know, I know that everything, there's a lot of free stuff on the internet, but if you want the best experience from beginning to end, it's like, you know, if you go find a DVD, just, it's, there's so much porn out there, and sometimes you have to just know where to look.
Exactly. You know? And there's also goodvibes.com. If you go to my website, you click on their video on demand. I've got a banner there, and they have the best, like, they have female-friendly porn. It's curated.
They're wonderful.
Yeah. I love Good Vibes. So you just, click on the banner, and you'll see to my site, and you can buy it by the minutes, but you can see it's, like, the best. They only have, like, the good
curated.
Stuff.
I like that it's like, they so vet everything, and they're like, this is the good stuff that we
they
like.
They do. They vet everything. They vet it all, and it's, like, I actually had a login, and I gave it to my friend, and her boyfriend, because she's like, you really want to watch porn. I'm like, well, okay, you can go check this out. Don't use up all my minutes, but check it. And she's like, oh my God, we're obsessed with it. We love it. They bought minutes because you can easily like we want
that's
this,
wonderful.
We want that. Yeah. So that's
I was also that reminded me, you could also go to the Feminist Porn Awards nominees and winners from the past couple years.
Feminist Porn
and
Awards.
Start with that list.
Right.
You know? And feminist porn generally is defined as porn that is, you know, conscientiously created with everyone's pleasure in mind, not
exactly.
just male pleasure.
Right, exactly, which is which is a lot of porn, I think, is just, geared towards men. So women like to have more of the plots or whatever it is. I mean, that's the one thing. But there's many more things that, feminist porn, that's a great one, too. So what is next for you? What are you working on? What's going on? What's where are you going?
Ooh.
I hate that question. People ask me all the time. But you must have it something that you're working on that you're really excited about now or where you want to take this all your success?
Yeah, man, this is a huge year for me. Like, there's a lot going on in general in my career, and it's all like coming to this trajectories,
exciting stuff.
Well, this is going out tomorrow, so I'll say this now. But I'm very happy to say that I'm doing a showcase feature, which is a star showcase is what it's commonly called, which is. Any adult star, you know, is featured in all four scenes of a movie. So I'm doing a showcase where it's like, it's all about me.
That's great.
And all
that's
the scenes.
That's awesome. Okay.
And as part of that, I'm doing my first anal sex on film.
Anal
which is kind of a big deal
God,
for me.
Oh my God, that's good. So that's your are you nervous?
Only because it's on film. I mean, I've done it enough in my personal life.
Exactly.
You know, that it's the actual act of it is not what makes me
nervous.
No, it's
just more
that
it's the first time.
Ooh.
But like you said, you held back. So now everyone's like, when is Siri going to do anal? It's good. You have the build up. So it's when is that coming? You're going to film it soon?
I'm filming it soon. I'm not going to say more details than that.
Okay,
but it'll be out soon enough.
Okay, Siri doing anal, coming out soon. coming soon. What is it? Do you have any good tips for anal sex before we wrap up, too? I feel like I always say this, but people have had like bad experience with anal sex. A lot of my listeners are like women, or like some guy shoved it in, didn't use lube. It was a bad experience.
Use more lube than you ever think would be
like
humanly
a whole
necessary.
Exactly. Use lube. Go slow. Maybe warm up with a butt plug or something. That's what I would say.
Get a guy who loves licking buttholes.
Yeah, exactly. A guy who's into it because he's going to be down with like everything.
A little bit of analingus before. Like that is an amazing way to prepare. And not only that, but, you know, it gets you comfortable with the whole area.
Exactly.
You know, if someone's putting their mouth on your butthole, then, you know, it eases your mind into imagining something going into your butthole.
Exactly. That's a good tip. Okay. So, well, thank you so much, Siri, for being on the show.
Thank you.
This has been amazing. And people can find you at your Twitter and
Siri
all that
Pornstar.
Siri Pornstar and also Siri Pornstar on Twitter.
Yes.
And your website.
And SiriPornstar.com and then blog.SiriPornstar.com.
Okay. Yeah. And you're a great writer. Like your stuff is very interesting, fascinating, titillating, and all that stuff. You're doing it all. And congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
And thank you for being on the show. It's been really exciting to have you here. And we're going to do a little video after also to promote this little podcast. So everyone, check it out. Thank you, Anderson, for being with me tonight.
Thanks, Em.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. I'm Emily from Sex with Emily. Have you ever not felt so fresh down under? I created a solution called Down Under Comfort. Well, what is it? It's a cream to a powder formula that keeps you fresh and dry all day long, which means you'll always be ready for action. It's for men and for women, can be used anywhere on your body. It prevents sweat stains, chafing, and that not so fresh feeling. You're probably thinking, hey, I showered this morning. I'm still clean. But guess what? Poor hygiene is the number one complaint about sex from men and women. Especially now, it's getting hot. You know, do your balls, your breasts, your whole body get sweatier? I can tell you they probably do. I was just in New York last week, and I was dripping in humidity under my breast. Oh, my God. Under your breast, it's amazing. And it saved me because I was like, how am I going to even move today? And how am I going to keep changing? And you just stop sweat. It's vegan. It's all natural. It's amazing. So most people never think they need a product like this until they try it, and then they can't live without it. So go to emilyandtony.com. Use coupon code Emily for 20% off. That's emilyandtony.com. Use code Emily for 20% off.
Perhaps play a little game called Just a Tip, just for a second, just to see how it feels.
Hey, this is Jordan Harbinger, host of the Art of Charm podcast, the number one dating and relationship advice podcast in iTunes.
I'm Emily Morse, host of the Sex with Emily podcast, the number one sex and relationship podcast on iTunes, and it's sexwithemily.com. And this is Just the Tip.
Okay, so every guy wants to make his woman have an orgasm, but sometimes, you know, we just don't know the combination to the lock. How do we go about this?
That is like the most common question I've asked. Finding out what makes a woman orgasm is not the easiest task, I feel, for men. Every woman, though, should know what works for her, and it's her job to communicate with you what she needs. And the problem here is that many women don't know.
Right.
So I'm just going to tell you guys to relax a little bit, because a lot of times it's really not your fault. So you can just come out and ask her. And if that doesn't work and she doesn't tell you what makes her feel good, there are some important factors that can help her climax.
Okay.
So first of all, a lot of women, they get really self-conscious.
Yes.
They think it's taking too long. They think you're looking at the clock, that you'd rather be watching TV, the whole thing. So let her know, Jordan, baby, I've got all night to crack this code.
All right. Nice.
I've got all night for you. And foreplay is a great add-on to this. So if you think that foreplay is not important and you're just going to walk in and stick your penis inside her, she's not going to have an orgasm. It's not going to happen that way. So a slow manual buildup can really drive her crazy. So slowly walk your hands all over her body. Brush against her clitoris. Don't go right for the clitoris.
It's getting hot in here.
Are you getting excited?
It's getting warm in here.
I know, Jordan. So try to increase contact with her sensitive areas also during intercourse. And there's also some positions that might work for her. But just so you know, most women do need extra clitoral stimulation. And your penis, and no matter what position you do, may not be able to provide it. And she might even have to bring in a sex toy. And don't be offended. But she will get there.
Nice. So don't be offended if she busts out a little bit extra
hardware. A little pocket rocket or something. Yeah,
pocket rocket.
But really just talk to her. I think that a lot of times women, they think that it's the man's responsibility, but really they need to communicate what makes them orgasm.
Right on. If you guys want to learn more from The Art of Charm about dating, relationships, and even networking for business, visit us at theartofcharmpodcast.com or check us out in iTunes and follow me on Twitter at The Art of Charm.
And check out the Sex with Emily podcast at sexwithemily.com and on iTunes if you want to have the best sex of your life, that is. Also, follow me on Twitter at sexwithemily.
Buying a car can be such a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar actually helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay, and that fear is the worst. Last month, over 45,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar.com users save an average of $3,046 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a car, you just got to follow these three easy steps that if you want to save money. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information, and then you lock in your savings. Third step, totally simple. All you do is you print out your TrueCar savings certificate, and then you take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better hassle-free car buying experience. Who doesn't want that? Some features not available in all states, and every day TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Why would you do that? Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.